that God has been doing some pretty amazing things. And so I just wonder, you know, we're here together in church, and one of the ways we can worship is by testimony. And so I wonder if anybody has a testimony. I know we got one testimony I've asked to share with us today. But before I have Pat share, anybody else have a testimony that you'd like to share? So what happened? Sciatic.
Almost 18 years, something like that. My sciatic nerve got touched, what, a week or so ago. And I tell you, it's almost 100%. And I got my shoulder healed, what, 5-6 months ago in here? If it keeps up, I'll be going back to work.
Hey, you know, we're having communion, and we believe in healing, that God uses the communion service in healing. And believe God for your healing, those of you online too, but let's believe God for miracles. Anybody else have a testimony? All right, well, you got to hear this from Pat. Of course, we know that Wes, her dad, has gone to be with the Lord, faithful member. But this is pretty amazing when I heard this at the funeral home.
Well, I just praise God that my dad finally got his heart's desire, and he went up to be with our King and our Savior and our Lord. And he's not suffering in some home anymore. He's not worried about nothing, even though he was starting to get worse with delirium and everything. And, you know, that wasn't my dad, but he got worse with that right at the very end. And I just thank God that he took him home. Yeah. And I know he's happy. He had an awesome funeral. It was just blessed. My brother did it. We all had a little part in saying things about my dad. And it was just perfect. I've never seen such a perfect funeral. But I'm just praising God that he's with his King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we don't have to worry about him or my mother anymore. And I'm just rejoicing. I miss him. I'm starting to miss him. But, you know, that's normal. But it will be okay.
Yeah. And tell what happened to your sister. What happened right before he passed.
My dad was the Saturday before he passed, which he passed on the 2nd. My sister was with him. And we couldn't all be up there at once because that was the rules with all this COVID stuff. Because Kathy and I were going to go up just a little later to see Dad. But he didn't. He died first. But Kathy did see. We did see him the first week. But the second week. The second he passed, and my sister was with him in his room, and my dad says, "Who are all those people up there? There's got to be at least 5,000 people." And then he saw it again. He saw these people again. He didn't know who they were. Then he said, "I'm going to heaven."
Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I'm just rejoicing. I mean, yeah, I'm going to miss him, but I'm so happy for him. I'm just so happy for him.
Amen.
I love my dad.
Amen. And you'll see him again. Isn't that great? What a great hope we have. Isn't that amazing? He said, "Who are all those people? There are got to be thousands of them." So, yeah. I can't emphasize this enough, that if you're not able to be here in person, that you stay connected. And that's by sharing testimony, sharing prayer needs, and communicating. So we hope, you know, our lay pastors are contacting many of you and just kind of stay in touch. And when they do call you, share, you know, if there's a prayer need, they call because they want to check in on you and make sure that there's something, if there's something that they need prayer or you need prayer on, that they can be praying for you through the week, through the month. All right, chapter 4, 1 Peter, towards the end of your Bible. Heard a story the other day, and it was a guy went into a coffee shop. This guy went in and he saw his friend sitting in the corner of the coffee shop all by himself, and he looked kind of mopey, so he went over to him and he said, "Hey, what's up, man? You don't look very happy." And the guy said, "Yeah, my wife kicked me out of the house." And so he's like, "Why?" He said, "Well, she was kind of hinting around at Valentine's Day plans. She asked me if I knew her favorite flower, guy's like, and? He says, well, I guess gold medal all-purpose was not the right answer. Well, a lot of people want romance, and some are not very good at it. But everybody needs to be good at love. Everybody needs to be good at love. Now, as we continue to look at 1 Peter, last week we talked about the importance of staying on the ark, or last time we were in 1 Peter. Making sure you're on the ark. And what we're talking about is Jesus. Jesus is the ark that we need to be in a time as judgment approaches and when judgment comes. Don't let people rejecting you or marginalizing you or persecuting you keep you from heaven. Don't let that happen. Don't let them keep you from Jesus, who, like the ark, was to Noah, he is to us as our Savior. And we need to make sure we are on the ark. Trials will come. Persecutions will come. People will hassle us for following Jesus. And so we pick things up in chapter 4. And the apostle continues and he says, therefore, and he talked about how Christ suffered for us. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. If you want to talk about love, this right here is love. Christ suffered for us. He died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. And as John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That is love, and that's what Jesus did for us. And so would you take your Bibles, your phones, whatever you use as your Bible, those of you online, join us. But say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And this morning my mind is alert and my spirit is awake and I'm ready to receive the word. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And Lord, help Pastor Joe keep it real simple. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So he says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. I think this is interesting, this word that Peter used. And when I first read it, I thought maybe this is just the translator using an idiom. You know, that an idiom is just kind of a phrase that really isn't to be taken literally, but it's, you know, represents something. So arm yourself, you know, arm yourself to do this and that. In other words, get ready. But when I looked it up in the Greek, it actually said arm yourselves, as in like taking up a weapon. Arm yourselves with the same mind that Christ had, the same love that Christ had. Arm yourself in that way. It literally means take up your weapons, and your weapons aren't rifles and AK-47s. A lot of Christians today, we're looking at the political situation, and we see our rights in danger to bear arms, and everybody's saying, stock up on arms, stock up on ammunition. Well, Peter says, stock up on love. Arm yourselves with the same mind that Christ had in his sacrificial love. And, you know, what does this mean? And I was trying to think of an example or an illustration, and probably one of the most memorable images to me in 2020 is what happened in Belarus. They literally armed themselves with love. When these pictures began to come out in videos of these protests after there was a fraudulent election in the nation of Belarus, which is the homeland where my parents came from. And they have been under dictatorship for 26 years or something. And they just had enough with these corrupt elections, and they went out in the streets by the tens and hundreds of thousands. You've heard me talk about it before, but those of you online might not be aware of what's happening there. It really has taken international news how there have never been these kinds of numbers out on the streets. But what's amazing, the dictator sent out his riot police, and the riot police, they arrested these peaceful protesters. They abused them. They beat them up. They threw them into jail. They starved them, all kinds of horrible things. But you know what the protesters did in return? They would go to the soldiers, the riot police, and they'd go hug them, kiss them, hand them flowers, the very ones that were persecuting them. And as a result, a number of the riot police quit. They said, I'm not going to beat my own people. You got to know something about the Belarusian people. We're devoted to one another. And the people are so committed to peace, and they armed themselves. Their weapon was love. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And that just really gripped me, that we need to arm ourselves with love. And that means being ready and preparing ourselves for those kinds of situations. And it was controversial. Some people didn't like that they were doing this. But this is what, as Christians, we're called to do. Now, as we go on and read on, Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So he's saying, Christ suffered for us. We ought to be like him and arm ourselves out of love. He did that out of love. We need to arm ourselves, have that same mind. Because he who has suffered in the flesh ceases from sin. Now let's have a little Sunday school here, because I'm always talking all the time. How about, what do you think that means? Any thoughts, anybody? He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Anybody? Martyrs? Okay. In other words, he who has suffered in the flesh, even to death, well, guess what? They're not going to sin anymore, right? They're not going to cease from sin. Can't sin when you're dead, right? Okay, so, yeah, looking at the context, so Christ, who's giving of himself, and he suffered for our sake, that if we take on that same mindset and we suffer for him and for others, that, well, we're not going to sin. And I think those are good points, that dead people can't sin, right? And so, yes, that may involve literal death, or it may involve being dead to ourselves. That if we die to ourselves, we arm ourselves with love instead, and we die. And yes, that causes suffering. It hurts sometimes to love, doesn't it? Love hurts. I won't sing it. But when you die to yourself, you cease from sin. I've often said that when you live a life of love and service, you don't have time to sin. Amen? When you're serving other people and you're helping people and you're loving and you're loving the Lord and you're worshiping and all those things. If you think about, you don't have time to sin. If you're thinking about yourself all the time and you're thinking about how you can make yourself happy and you're focused on yourself, that's going to lead to temptation and that's going to lead to sin. You will eventually end up in sin when you focus on yourself. And so I think that's he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And some have taken that as far as like fasting and what is called asceticism, and purposefully suffering to get a hold of control of just that sin nature and say, no, you're not my master. I'm the master here. And you know what happens when you die to yourself and you live unto God and to others? That's when you actually become free. That's where the true freedom is. Anybody here this morning? Amen? And he goes on, he says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Enough of that. We've spent enough time with this kind of activity, just focusing on ourselves, sinning. Enough. Let's grow up. Let's be done with that. Now, the world confuses itself, confuses lust and love a lot. You know, it talks about here, enough walking in lewdness and lusts and those kinds of things. Valentine's Day has become a holiday about romantic love, and a lot of times there's a confusion between love and lust. And I read something from, anybody remember Ann Landers, the advice columnist? And listen to this. She talks about infatuation versus love. And infatuation, and you can essentially, it's almost, you can plug in the word lust there because it's really pretty much the same thing. But she contrasts infatuation and true love. And she says this, "Infatuation is instant desire. It is one set of glands calling to another. Love is friendship that has caught fire. It takes root and grows one day at a time. Infatuation is marked by a feeling of insecurity. You are excited and eager, but not genuinely happy. There are nagging doubts, unanswered questions, little bits and pieces about your beloved that you would just as soon not examine too closely. It might spoil the dream. Love is quiet, understanding, and the mature acceptance of imperfection. It is real. It gives you strength and grows beyond you to bolster your beloved. You are warmed by his or her presence, or even when he or she is away. Miles do not separate you. You want him or her near, but near or far, you know they are yours and you can wait." Infatuation says, "We must get married right away. I can't risk losing him or her." Love says, "Be patient. Don't panic. Plan your future with confidence." Infatuation has an element of sexual excitement. If you are honest, you'll admit it is difficult to be in one another's company unless you are sure it will end in intimacy. Love is the maturation of friendship. You must be friends before you can be lovers. Infatuation lacks confidence. When he or she is away, you wonder if they're cheating. Sometimes you even check. Love means trust. You are calm, secure, and unthreatened. He or she feels that trust, and it makes them even more trustworthy. And one more. Infatuation might lead you to do things you regret later, but love never will. Love is an upper and makes you look up. It makes you think up, makes you a better person than you were before. What a great contrast between false love, lust, infatuation, and true love. But here's the thing, folks. You can't do this. You can't do what Ann Lander said. Sorry. It's impossible. Because true love is supernatural. And unless you have love living inside you, because the Bible says God is love, unless you have him living inside you, there's no way you can live that selfless, as Ann Landers talked about. That reminded me of the story, you know, when it talks about patience and understanding the mature acceptance of imperfection. There's a story about back before they had video conferencing and FaceTime and everything. There was a couple that met online and they were writing to each other and they were sending, and they found themselves falling in love with each other just with the interactions they had and the things they shared with one another and all that. They fell in love, and finally the time came for them to meet. And so the lady said, you'll find me, I'll have a green hat and a green coat on when I come off the plane. That's me. And so he was very excited. He goes to the airport and he goes to where they come off the plane and is waiting anxiously, and the people start coming off the plane. And out comes a woman dressed in with a green hat and a green coat. And for a moment he looked at her and found that she was very comely and entertained the thought of, I could just turn around now and just say that's it. But he said, you know, he thought to himself, in the end, that's not really going to matter a whole lot. We're so close. We have so many things in common. We love talking to each other, and love is deeper than just skin deep. And so he goes to her and he greets her, says hi, and was just about to hug her when she said, oh no, I'm not her. She's over there. She made me wear this. And it ends up the real one that he was in contact with was a gorgeous, beautiful young lady. And she came to him and she said, I had to find out if you're for real, because all my life the men just loved me because of how I looked. I wanted somebody who would really love me, and you just proved it. Isn't that a good Valentine's Day story, isn't it? Everybody's crying. The great commentator Alexander McLaren says, the flesh has had enough of the time given to it. Had not God a right to the rest of your time? The flesh should have had none to begin with. It had had all too much. Surely the readers had had enough of the lower life, more than enough. Were they not sick of it, satisfied even to disgust? Let us look back on our wasted years and give no more precious moments to serve the corruptible flesh. I love that. Wow. Time enough. So Peter goes on. A few more verses here, and I want to get to the climax of this passage. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. People are going to think you're weird if you love for real. If you live the real love life, if you follow Jesus, if you are done with the things of the flesh, and you say, I'm done with that, I'm grown up now, I'm done with all those things, people are going to mock you, and they're going to hassle you because you don't party with them, because you don't talk locker room talk with them, and you don't do the stuff that they do. That's what Peter is saying. He says, but remember, those people are going to give account one day, and so are you. You're going to have to give account. And this made me think of two things. Number one, again, don't get off the ark. Stay on the ark. Stay with Jesus. Stay close to him. Don't let mockers get you off of Jesus or away from Jesus. And secondly, this is why being in fellowship and having fellowship is so important. You've got to have that support system of believers all around you. Those of you online, if you're still concerned about coming to church, or you need to stay away from crowds because of your work situation, or you're around vulnerable people, that's perfectly understandable. But stay connected. You're not going to survive out there on your own. We have to be connected. That's why I always say, write to us. Say, send us a testimony. Send us a prayer request. Stay connected. And that's why we're having our lay pastors, you know, getting in touch with you from time to time. Just so you stay connected. Because you can't make it out there alone. You will be destroyed because the world fights against love. Fights against true love. It is focused on itself. And people are focused on themselves. But God says, don't forget, there's a judgment coming. So you need to stay strong. You need to stay in fellowship. And actually, this is one of the things I think is going to be key when we start night and day prayer in June. Lord willing, may have to be me if I can't get help. But we're going to do this. And one of the things I think that's healthy about that is that there's always a place to go. When you're in temptation or you feel lonely, that there would be a place for people to go any day of the week. And I remember when we were in revival in 2011 back in Dearborn Heights and how we were having daily services. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me and to John Burton and some of the other leaders of that revival were, yeah, Sunday's great, revival's great, the weekend's great, but what about Monday? What if you need Jesus on Monday? What if you need some support on Monday? So I think that's going to be helpful, but it's so important because the world fights against this stuff. And then the next verse is a strange verse. Peter says, for this reason, you know, judgment's coming and people run, you know, they hassle you, they persecute you, but for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Chapter 3, it talks about how Jesus went and preached to those who are in prison, and it connected those to the people of Noah's time that were judged. And I shared a little bit about this theory that between the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection, that he actually went down to Hades to preach to the Old Testament saints and give them an opportunity to accept the gospel. And many, many commentators interpret this verse that he went, you know, for this reason, Christ, the gospel is preached to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. And in the flesh, they died, but live according to God in the spirit. So they had a chance to become born again, be spiritually alive, and come into eternal life. So it's an interesting thought. I won't dismiss it completely, but I think a way to explain it otherwise is that Peter's saying, those that have died in the persecution that you're facing now, those that have even gone as far as giving their lives, the gospel was preached to them so that, yeah, they might have been judged according to men in the flesh, men killed them, but live according to God in the spirit. So he's not really talking about Hades or whatever, but just those who had died beforehand, the gospel was preached to them. Yeah, they were judged by man and perhaps became martyrs, but they live according to God in the spirit. So, again, there is a judgment. But it all comes down to these last two verses I want to talk about. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, say above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So it all comes down to this. Christ set the example. He suffered for us. We need to arm ourselves with that same mindset of love and service to one another, because when it all comes down to it, above all things, have fervent love for one another. It doesn't just say love one another. It says have fervent love for one another. Be passionate towards one another. Have fight. Fervent means fire. It's a love that's not just ordinary. It's supposed to be an intense love that we have towards one another. We got to be purposeful. We got to arm ourselves to love each other. We got to think about how much we love each other. I love you. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's my chance. I love you. I think about you, even you online. And I miss so many of you. I miss you guys from our Canada bunch and stuff. And I love you. But we need to have that love for one another. And I think this last verse means a couple things. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Let's have Sunday school again. Anybody have a thought? What does that mean? Love will cover a multitude of sins. It won't blast your business all over. Yeah, social media, whatever. What else? Yeah. Yeah, so just like Jesus said, when he said, how many times should we, he was asked, how many times should we forgive someone who sinned again? He says, seven times? He said, 70 times seven. In other words, always keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. Keep loving. Keep covering up their sins. Guess what? There are cover-ups that are good. I believe in cover-ups. And one of them is covering up one another's sins. Now, again, I've been preaching hard about this. I can't preach hard enough. Yeah, I know I'm a pastor of a church, but I'm talking Bible right now. And that's people who are like, I'm not going to church anymore. I've had enough of church. They're just a bunch of hypocrites, and all they talk about is money. Looks like you're uncovering sins. When the Bible says, love will cover a multitude of sins. You're not going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, well, that church did that, and those people did that, and pastor said that, and no, we're to cover up sins. Forgive, yes. And I shared this before. I think I preached on this passage many, many months ago. But I talked about how, again, going back to Noah, because Peter talked about Noah in chapter 3. If you remember, after the flood, Noah planted a vineyard, and he made some wine, and he ended up getting drunk, and he's falls asleep naked. Well, one son comes in, Ham, I think, and he sees him naked and starts laughing and mocking his father. But the other two sons are like, that's our father. And they literally took a covering and they walked backwards over him, not to even look on his nakedness, and they covered his nakedness. And I thought, what a picture of how we're supposed to be towards one another. Cover one another's sin. And that starts in the home. It starts in the home. It starts with our spouses. It starts with our children. Of course, we have to discipline our children and teach them. But we also love them unconditionally. And we don't hold their sins against them. They need to be free. And so, above all things, he says, love one another. Above all things. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said what's most important, verse 36. He was asked, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You should love the Lord. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This whole book, you can sum it up in loving God and loving your neighbor. That's it right there. There's the Bible. Love God, love your neighbor. I used to preach a sermon out of 1 Timothy 1 where it talks about the goal of our faith is love. That's the goal. The goal of our faith is love. And I preached a message called the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what's the main thing? Love. Love. Loving God. Loving, having relationship with Him. And then loving one another. This is what's so important. And again, what is love? I close with this. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long. See, we talked about that verse 1 of our passage today. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. And they did, didn't they? A lot of prophecies. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Keep the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And we need to learn what real love is. We need to show what real love is. The world doesn't know what love is. And again, you can't do this. Why are you preaching it, Pastor? You can't. You can't do that. Unless you have love living inside you, the person love, God. And He enables you to do this. I can't tell you how many times when my flesh arose back in the old days, olden days, Gene and I would have some kind of argument about something, and I come pulling in the garage and I'm fuming, and I got my arguments and all my things. I got it all. I got my legal case together here about our whatever we were arguing about. And time after time, he's sitting there in the garage, ready to get out of the car, and the Holy Ghost says, "No, you won't." And the Holy Ghost says, "Do you realize how precious this jewel is that I gave to you?" And you know what? Forget all the arguments were gone. I came in, she was ready for a fight, and I kiss her smack on the lips. She's like, "What happened to you?" I got love living inside of me. I got the person named love. But seriously, it was Holy Ghost. It was God doing stuff and working in my heart. And in God, you can do this. That's the only way. You can't do it out of your flesh. I close with St. Valentine's story, and then we're going to have communion. So, Valentine's Day. Well, I told this story before, but I just want to share it again. That Valentinius was a bishop in the Roman Empire back in the 3rd century. And there was an emperor at that time named Claudius Gothicus. And he was a warmonger. There was war going on constantly in the Roman Empire. And young men were just dying left and right because these emperors wanted to take more ground or more territory, and they're battling this and that. And it got to the point where, you know, you were exempt if you were married or had a family, at least for the first year of marriage. There's some law, but the emperor was running out of young men, so he canceled that law. And whether you're married or not, you still have to go into battle. And he found out that as men were out in battle, they were thinking about their wives and their children all the time and not the battle. And so he decided, you can't get married. I'm going to make getting married illegal until you're like way old or whatever. And so no young men could get married. Well, that's contrary to the biblical, everything that God tells about how man, husband and wife are to come together, etc. And so some of these young men who were in love with their betrothed would go to Valentinius and say, "Would you perform a wedding for us? Because I will have to go to battle, but at least we want to be together and we want to be married. If I can come home alive, I'll have my family." And so he married them secretly. And as a result, he was eventually found out, an informer told the emperor's government about Valentinius performing these illegal marriages. And so he was arrested. And as he was standing before an atheist, godless judge, this judge said, "Why are you willing to die for this faith of yours, for this Jesus of yours? What is he? Who is he? Is he real? Are you willing to give up your life for this dream?" And he says, "Not a dream. It's my God is real." He says, "Okay, prove it to me." And he brought his little daughter in, blind. She was blind. She said, "If your God is real, then why don't you heal this little girl of mine of her blindness like your Jesus supposedly did?" So Valentinius laid hands on her and began to pray, and she was healed. And the judge was stunned. And he was so shaken and moved by this, and that his little girl was now healed and could see, that he dismissed all charges and set Valentinius free. However, he continued to do the illegal marriage ceremonies, and the emperor to find another judge and ended up convicting him. And as legend has it, that the night before he was to be executed, beheaded, he became very fond of this little girl, and she was really fond of him, and they communicated with one another and sent notes and letters, and he sent a note back to her and just saying goodbye and signed it, "Your Valentine." And that's why we have Valentines today. But he lived this. He lived this. He loved supernaturally. He had the God of love, God who is love inside him. Not the God of love, but the God who is love living inside of him. God's heart, that sacrificial heart that gave it all to us, for us, the cross, the crown of thorns on his head. That was out of his heart for us. Hallelujah. So today, as we come to the Lord's table, let's keep in mind the love that he exercised towards us and see that as our example. Those of you who are here should have the little cups there with you. Those of you online, if you'd like to join us real quick, find some juice and bread, closest thing to grape juice and bread you have, and you can participate in communion with us. The Bible says that we remember the Lord's death when we do this, and so I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Lord talks about this, or the Apostle Paul talks about this, what the Lord spoke to him. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" We proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim his love. When we celebrate communion, we remember what he did for us in this act of giving of himself to us. The same thing that we should arm ourselves with. And so in a little bit, I'm going to speak the ancient Hebrew blessings over the emblems, and we're going to partake together and believe God to touch you wherever it is that you need healing or sins cleansed and forgiven. This is a time to just say, "Lord, I lay it all down. I've, just like the pastor said, I'm done with living that old life for the flesh. Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to find ways to live for you." So let's take these next moments just to prepare our hearts quietly before the Lord as the musicians play. Yeah, let's wait. Just wait. As far as taking, just take some time before the Lord, you and the Lord. Right, those of you in here, you can take the top plastic off, get the wafer. I want you to take the wafer, put it in your hands, because we're going to break it. I want you to break it because it talks about breaking bread. That symbolized what happened to Jesus' body. And the Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. And later in this passage, it talks about how there are many who are weak and sick because they did not discern the Lord's body. And I believe God, if you would discern the Lord's body today and just say, "I know what God did for me. I know what how his body was broken so that I might be healed. You can receive your healing today. In fact, I just feel right now somebody rib cage issues. I don't know if it was a broken rib or a bruised area there. Rib cage area. God wants to heal that. Hallelujah, Lord. But just believe God for your healing. Thank you, Lord. Somebody has heel pain. I don't know if it's online or here, but you have pain in your heels of your feet. Father, heal that today, God. Touch that person. Your body was broken for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All lung issues right now, I speak healing to lungs. Those of you who have some kind of lung issue, just take a deep breath right now. Just receive the healing touch of God. Lord, touch everyone who's struggling with any kind of lung problems, pneumonia, infections, viruses. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Takara. I hear the Holy Spirit saying somebody's had a burn. You had some kind of a burn injury that's been still trouble for you. You were burned in a fire or something. God wants to heal that right now. Just lift that up to Him in faith. And when we break the bread, believe God to touch you and to heal you. Jesus, Jesus, touch you. Nasal area, somebody with nasal issues. God wants to heal you. Thank you. And even if I don't mention whatever it is that you're asking the Lord for, there's things I'm asking the Lord for right now. Just believe God to touch you. As I speak the ancient Hebrew blessing over this bread, and as you break it in a moment, that God will heal you. So, Baruch Hata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth and has given us the bread of heaven, Jesus Messiah. Just take that wafer, take that bread. If you're at home, just break it, tear it in half right now. Ooh, receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. I always feel it when I just do it in faith. Thank you, Lord. And you partake of the bread. Lord, whoever's having an issue in their throat, touch them right now. Some kind of throat issue, maybe even a thyroid issue. God, touch you right now. Now take the cup. At home, take your cup and just, you can take the top, the foil off, just rip that back. This represents His blood shed for us. Just hold it up to the Lord. Baruch Hata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Bore Peri Hagafen. Blessed be the Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine and has given us the blood of Messiah Jesus for our salvation. Hallelujah. Just as you take this cup now and drink it, realize His blood cleanses you from all your sins. Amen. Let's partake together. Oh, just thank Him and praise Him right now for His sacrifice for you. To heal you, to save you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless you and we worship you today. Hallelujah. Manifest your healing. Manifest your grace. Those have been weighed down with guilt, Lord, let them remember that your blood was shed for them. Out of your great love, Lord God, you suffered so that they could have life. So, Lord, I pray, bless your people. Let healing be manifest today, each and every one, in Jesus' name. Let's sing the song, Amazing Love. How sweet an amazing love is.
tree. His grace flows down, he covers.